Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to another episode of Section 138, a weekly Blue Jay podcast for all things Blue Jays. We are almost at the regular season now. Spring training is winding down. Today, as always, we're joined by Everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation. I am Mark Culley from 360 Blue Jays News, Bluebird Banter, and Jays Journal. Today we'll be talking about over-unders, making some predictions for the 2018 season. We'll be discussing Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette. They just announced that, or reported that they would be starting the season in AA New Hampshire with the Fisher Cats. So we'll be talking about maybe their prospects of getting to the majors this season, how we think their performance will pan out. And then lastly, we'll touch on the opening day news about J.A. Happ starting that game, and then the announced rotation going forward with Marcus Stroman taking the fourth spot in the rotation, followed by Jaime Garcia, and then Sanchez and Estrada are filling in the second and third spots in the rotation, respectively. So starting with some predictions, I guess we'll do over-unders first, and then we can talk about some predictions that we have later. I wanted to start with an over-under on attendance, because there's been a lot of speculation recently about, how much the Blue Jays rotation, the Blue Jays attendance is going to drop. Not so much will it drop, but when it drops and by how much. So in 2017, the Blue Jays obviously had record numbers attendance-wise, as well as 2016 and 2015. 2017, they had 3,203,886 people in attendance at their games, which is first in the American League. And then 2016 was a bit higher. It was 3,392,099. So for the past two seasons, they've been top of the AL. I guess my over-under with this, I guess I'll place the over-under at 2,600,000.
I'm going to go a little over, but not too much. I think that the attendance will drop again this season, but I don't think it's going to drop drastically as people are predicting. I saw a few days ago actually on Twitter that apparently that the opening day still hasn't really been sold out yet. It could be sold out now, but as far as Tuesday, there were still actually tickets available, which is definitely different from the past few seasons, as you know, opening day and all that has been sold out pretty quick. But I believe even if the Jays fall off a bit, or they're a sub 500 team at best, that they're still going to get a decent amount of fans. But I don't think they're going to have nobody. The Rogers Center's been through a lot worse with when it comes to attendance. We've seen how empty the Rogers Center can get. We've seen how packed it can get. And I believe that it will be just above your number, 360. I don't think it's going to drop drastically as people, or maybe some people, think, but it definitely will. And again, this all affects on how the team performs. Again, this is a prediction of how I think the J season will go. But if they, if they surprise everyone, that number's not going to go down that much, if it does at all. But if they get off to a rough start we saw last year, and later in the season, we definitely could see a dip in the numbers, but I'm not seeing a huge change.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but I think the attendance is on the verge of crashing down. I don't think that it's going to be as bad as everyone says if the team is good, but I think, we had a bad end to 2016 regular season wise. 2017 obviously wasn't very good, and I think all of the fans that are still kind of holding on to the we still have this, we can still make the playoffs mentality, are kind of starting to fall off, or starting to die down a little bit. So I think the play is crucial. I don't think it's gonna be like last year where it was 500 or sub 500 team for the entire year and we still had over 3 million fans. I think if the team is bad, the attendance will clearly show it. If the team is good, I think the team or the attendance will be reasonable. I don't think it'll be as crazy as it was in 2017, but I don't think it'll be horrible. As for over-under, I'm just going to say undecided at this point, because it could honestly go either way, and I'm not too sure which way I think it'll go.
I agree with you guys that it's really hard to predict this thing, because obviously it depends on how the Blue Jays perform. But I am going to take the under. I think that the attendance in 2018 will be below 2,600,000. I think this because mainly we saw the kind of season that the Blue Jays had last year. And knowing that and knowing how fans are maybe... I don't know. The Blue Jays have kind of lost their shine with that. I think fans are skeptical of what the Blue Jays are going to do this season, even though they have a good projected record by some projection services. And projections for the team made by analysts and such don't have them doing awful. They're certainly not going to do amazing. But I'm going to take the under on that simply because I think fans are still hesitant after last season of what the Blue Jays will be this season. So my next over-under also involves the attendance to a certain extent. I'm going to do the over-unders for wins for the Blue Jays this season. FanGraphs has the Blue Jays at 86 and 76. That's a projection for this season. That would be good for one of the wild card spots. I think that all of us would probably take the under if we were forced to decide that. So I'm going to do an over-under on Blue Jays record of 83-79.
Okay, I will take. I'll take the under. I don't believe this team has the capability to be an 80. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to take the over. A lot of people don't know what they're going to see out of this team this season. Many people are predicting that things will go well. Will they buy? Will they sell? The attendance having a factor of the Blue Jays not selling last year. And if you just look at last year, they really, it was probably one of the worst seasons they can get when it comes to injuries, when it comes to production, and et cetera. You know, you had over, I think it was around 10 or 11 starters in total, and you're going back to a few years ago when you only had six or maybe seven, and it was just a terrible year right from the start. They started off 2-10 or 2-11, and people were struggling. This year, though, it's pretty hard for that to repeat itself. You need a lot of bad luck, because a bad luck was probably one of the biggest reasons of the Jays' downfall. And when the bad luck hits, the confidence starts to go down, the criticism starts to kick in, and that's why I believe that this team this year, you know, they made a few changes. Bautista's gone. They got Randall Grichuk now. They got Curtis Granderson as the new fourth outfielder. Ezekiel Carrera is moving on. They have a more secure infield now. Just as we saw, as Troy Tulowitzki will not be ready for opening day. We're gonna get a good taste of how Aledmys Diaz and Yanhervis Solarte start the season in their utility roles and platoon roles. Devin Travis went through his full spring training in almost 3 or 4 years this year, which is also a good sign. Russell Martin getting older each year. Will Justin Smoak repeat his numbers from last year? Because he was probably the only positive figure, along with Josh Donaldson, who actually produced for the Blue Jays last season. Josh Donaldson, again, in a contract year. The rotation with the five, when you have Jay Happ, Aaron Sanchez, Marco Estrada, Marcus Stroman, Jaime Garcia, that's a pretty solid starting rotation. It's gonna be a big difference seeing Aaron Sanchez on the mound every 5 days. You're going to have Marco Estrada, who's going to look to have a bounce-back season. Jay Happ for another solid year. Marcus Stroman, another solid year. And Jaime Garcia is just going to fill the responsibility of being a fifth starter. So, you know, with this team on paper, I believe this team will be an 80-plus win team. And I believe that they will finish third in the AL East possibly top wildcard contenders.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually, on that. I think last year was kind of a... you know, abnormal year. It was bad from the get-go. Players just weren't able to get into a stride. But I think the end of last year showed some promise, and the spring training this year also showed a lot of promise for this year. Marco Estrada started to bounce back after his 3 or 4 month stint where he just spiraled out of control last year, and he started to play well towards the end of last year. Aaron Sanchez looks to be healthy. You know, that's going to change. You have two guys right now, one guy that's actually going to be playing for you this year and one guy that's likely going to bounce back. Jaime Garcia, I think, is a better fifth starter than anybody used last year. And then, you know, the Blue Jays, I think, prepared for injuries this year, which is also going to help them, which is why I think they will be an 80-plus win team. Last year, they had to rely on Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins to fill the middle infield role, and we saw what happened with that. They weren't bad, but we know it could easily be better. Aledmys Diaz and Yanhervis Solarte will be... I think they'll do their jobs and do it very well, mainly at shortstop, because I'm predicting, and I guarantee you this, whenever I make predictions, they're not necessarily the best, but I'm predicting Devin Travis has a healthy season, which is another big thing for the Blue Jays, because we've seen what he can do in minimal time. Just imagine that over 140, 150 starts a year. You know, the guy, he clearly can hit. His defense is lacking. I think that's a little obvious, but he's definitely working on that. And, you know, if he can just improve on his defense and stay healthy for longer periods of time, I think he would definitely be an all-star type player, which will also help the Blue Jays. Justin Smoke, I doubt he's going to repeat the 38 home runs, but I think he finished with like a 270 average last year, which I think is definitely reasonable for him this year. You know, maybe 260, 265 at worst. Home runs, I think, definitely will dip a little bit, but overall, he's still going to be good. We have a yes, Russ is getting older, but Luke Maley will be more than fine of a backup catcher than, you know, the guys we saw last year, especially hopefully he doesn't spend some time on the DL. As we saw last year, he's a great catcher. Hitting is a bit of a different story. But I think, you know, if you're only going to play once every 4 to 6 days, maybe more, you know, your offense or your numbers at the plate won't be as important. I mean, they still are. It's just if you're only relied on once every couple days, you know, hitting around 200 to 220, which would be perfectly fine, is reasonable for him. And then outfield, Jose Bautista, you know, it's hard to replace him, but it had to be done. The Blue Jays definitely got improved. Curtis Granderson has had a pretty good spring. I've seen every game I've watched, actually. I think he's hit a home run. Randall Grichuk, he's another solid outfielder who I think both of them together, especially with Ezekiel Carrera gone, you know, maybe Steve Pierce is kind of the odd man out, him or Kevin Pillar as the fourth outfielder, and then Grichuk and Granderson are the two corner outfielders. And one other thing I'm kind of expecting to give the Blue Jays a better season is Roberto Osuna's play. We saw last year he blew, I think it was 10 saves, and if the Blue Jays won that, or won even half of those games, they would have been in a significantly better spot standing-wise. You know, maybe not have, probably wouldn't have, excuse me, put them in the playoff spot, but it would have definitely improved, or it would have drastically improved how they finished in the standings. This year, I'm projecting for him to have a better year, not struggle as much. And just that alone, if he doesn't blow, or if he blows even half of what he did last year, that's still very good, very reliable. And I think that'll also factor in with the Blue Jays getting more wins this year. So with all of that being said, I think this team definitely has the capability of being an 80-plus win team. Not going to say high 80s, you know, maybe 86 at the max, but that's if a lot of things go right. But overall, I think this will be a promising year. Playoffs are reasonable. But yeah, it'll take something like last year where teams are getting in with less than 90 wins. But I think if that does happen and a lot of things go right for the Blue Jays, you know, I think this would be a very good team on paper, and hopefully that would eventually make its way onto the field and result in a good season. So yeah, I am going to take the over on that.
Yeah, I'm with all of you guys with that. I'm taking the over too. I'm surprised. I thought some of us would take the under, but you know, as I said before, FanGraphs projects the Blue Jays to go 86-76, and I generally I like to trust the numbers because they know a lot more than I do. And when you think about it analytically, there is a lot to support that record for the Blue Jays, that projected record for the Blue Jays in 2018. When you consider, you know, the starting rotation, if Aaron Sanchez is healthy, which he looks like he will be, Marcus Stroman, obviously, that little scare in spring training doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. And then you have the added starting rotation depth in Jaime Garcia. You know, you have added reliever depth in some acquired even this offseason, John Axford, Craig Breslow, obviously released, but these are the kind of guys that the Blue Jays signed to give them more depth. And when you consider what they added in the infield and in the outfield, overall, it looks like the Blue Jays are a much more complete team this season than they were last season. And it looks like they're gearing up to at least compete for the majority of the season. That being said, if injuries do hit like they hit last year, it won't have as big of an effect, I think, but they will be certainly be looking at a below 500 record, maybe 80-82, something to that effect. But since we're in agreement there, you brought up Blue Jays Nation, you brought up Devin Travis, what we expect of him in 2018, whether he'll be healthy or not. So I wanted to take the over-under on his at-bats. So in 2015, he had 217 at-bats. In 2016, he had 410. And in 2017, he had 185. So knowing that, I'll place the over-under on his at-bats at 275. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on that. As I said earlier, I predict a full season out of Travis. You know, it's time. I think he's definitely worked with the trainers, you know, over the last couple of years, and I think hopefully they figured out what's wrong. And I think he could definitely do what he did in 2016 at least and get it close to 300 to 400 at bats. That's definitely reasonable. 500 at bats, just kind of branching off, I don't think is It's not unreasonable, but I don't think it's very likely, simply because, you know, when you have a guy that's so injury prone, you know, the last thing you want to do is just throw him in every game possible just because he looks healthy, which would mean, you know, he'll play a lot, but I still think, you know, he won't get any more than maybe 400 at bats, maybe 450 at best. But yeah, over that is definitely reasonable to say over, because you know, mostly because I want to say over. You know, I don't want this guy to go through another year of injuries and have to have the backups playing every day. But yeah, I mean, hopefully I do think over. I think it's time, and this is definitely a guy that could easily break through and play a full season and excel.
I'm with you. I'm going to take the over. I don't think it's a matter of figuring out what is wrong with him with the trainers, because we all know what was wrong with him. Devin Travis simply couldn't stay healthy his first three seasons in the big leagues. I mentioned earlier that this was his first full spring training in about 3 or 4 years, so that's definitely promising. And also, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you said how his defense, he struggled with defense, and that's no surprise. I think a big problem with him not improving his defensive play is him worrying about rehabbing all of the time. Devin Travis has he hasn't really even developed that much other than rehab. Like, all he's been doing the past few years has been rehabbing. He hasn't really gotten himself any better. The only thing you can say he's been doing is taking swings, staying in shape. But yeah, Devin Travis, definitely benefited off from this spring, I believe. This is probably the most promising spring he's had entering the season, just because he finally got to get at-bats. He finally got to play second base. He's not worrying about rehabbing. He looks like he's ready to go. And Devin Travis will be playing, I believe, a lot this year. The only time he won't be playing is, I don't think he'll be playing, he'll be definitely getting a lot of night offs. I don't think he'll be playing when it comes to night-day games. You know, we saw that with Russell Martin. They began playing, they began giving him the day off when, you know, if, let's say the Jays played on a Friday night, the next day they're playing at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. So I definitely believe those games he'll be getting the day off. And again, once again, as nobody wants to hear this, just because it's been so, so tiring and boring to say, and it's been very frustrating, even if Devin Travis is hurt, the Blue Jays aren't going to be as impacted as they were a few years ago. We've said many times, Ledmus Diaz and Yonhair Vizcalarte, they're there. And to have those two as so-called backup utility infielders, that's pretty darn good. So Devin Travis, we all know what he can do with the bat, and I just think it's a matter of time before he starts figuring out his defensive play. He had the most at-bats in 2016. He had 410. So I'm going to say he's going to have close to between 450, 500, in my opinion. He's going to be playing, I believe the injury bug is over. Again, nobody can control injuries, so this isn't saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just, again, I'm showing a lot of optimism as well. I think this is going to be a breakout season for Travis. And, you know, who wouldn't want to hope for and, you know, have luck for the guy and, you know, hope he does well, because this guy is just taking a beating. Last season, when his season ended, when he hurt his knee again, we saw him break down in tears in front of the cameras during an interview. So you can imagine the pain he's gone through, how much suffering and how much times he's given up on himself. So again, this spring was promising for Travis, and going into the Montreal series, I don't know how much he's going to be, if he's going to play both games. The artificial turf over there, you might want to be careful. Same with, you know, infielders like Donaldson. But Travis looks like he looks ready to go, and he believes he's ready to go. And the only thing he has to prove to the whole world now is, can he stay healthy? Because we all know the capability he has if he's a healthy player.
Yeah. I am going to take the over. Before we started talking, I was actually going to take the under on it because, you know, just judging by his past, it seems pretty clear that he has trouble staying healthy. But now that I've heard you two arguing and talking about how he's been so much better in spring training this season, I'll take the over on that one. I mean, you guys said it. I wouldn't say that the injury bug is over. I still think that he's injury prone, but I think what we've seen in spring training and what we've seen before of what he's tried to do to prevent injuries, I think he'll be able to mostly avoid injuries this season. Again, on that, I'm not totally confident because he's Devin Travis. We've seen in the past that he has a history of being injured. But moving on, Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette, like I said earlier, are going to start the season in AA New Hampshire with the Fisher Cats. There's not much to talk about this. It was expected that they would start the season in AA. I guess the one question about this is, how far will they get this season? Will they make it to the majors, at least for some point, as a September call-up? Obviously, I mean, it's almost certain that they'll make it to AAA, but the majors is a different question. So, quickly, I just want to ask you guys, do you think they'll make it to the majors this season?
I'm going to say no. Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette, they have obviously two tremendous prospects, the top prospects for the Blue Jays, and they will be something when they are going to be playing in the big leagues. They started last season in Lansing. They moved up around the All-Star break for the major league, so they finished the second half of the season in Dunedin, Advanced A, whatever you want to call it, High A. But anyways, they're good. They need time. I believe this is where this is their biggest test. You're moving from A. You're in between now, or you were in between from going to AAA. You have one more step before AAA, because when they are ready for AAA, they're not too far from being ready for the big leagues. These two need time in AA. They need at-bats. They need to see how are they going to react. We saw them react in Dunedin. It wasn't too much of a difference, but this is going to be their biggest difference, their biggest step that they're going to be making towards progressing and finishing their development and hopefully playing in the majors soon. I hope by the end of the season they will be in AAA. And you never know what will happen being a September call-up late in the season, depending on how the Blue Jays are doing. But entering the season, and at this point, they're 0-0, the Blue Jays. I'm not saying they're going to be way out of it, because if they're way out of it, you never know. And if they're in it, I don't believe that they will be on that roster in September. But I hope for Guerrero and Bichette to finish the season in AAA, and then the 2019 opening day of them being on the roster or not will be a whole different argument, and we are a year away from that, like pretty much exactly. So, but I don't imagine them being ready. Like, I can't see it, but I wouldn't be too surprised if it happened, just because we know how much players are, or members of the team are really pushing for it. We, you know, Marcus Stroman, the Saturday a few weeks ago when they played Canada, he made his first start of the spring, and he said post game that, you know, he believes that they should be on the roster right now. They can help us. And of course, that's Stroman being his optimistic self, and that's him saying how he feels. And, you know, him saying that really got a lot of fans' attention. Oh, they got to be in the big leagues this year. They got to be in the big leagues this year. But the problem is, again, you do not want to rush their development. This isn't hockey. This isn't football. This isn't basketball. They're not showing up year one after being drafted. Baseball's different. They're going to take a few years to get ready. You don't want to rush them because they have a whole future ahead of them. But AA, where they're going to be starting this season, this is the biggest step for them, I believe. It'll be the biggest test. This is a huge difference compared to going from Lansing to Dunedin. This is the next step for them, and I guess we're all hoping that the development continues to go well, and, you know, if, let's just say they light it up in AA, like they go crazy, like legend, then you never know. But I don't see them going legend. Like, I see them progressing very well still, but I'm talking, like, really, really, really good if they're going to be even considered to be on this team by September. But, yeah, AA, finish the year in AAA.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there. I don't think the team, or Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero, will be on the team at any point this year, no matter what their spot in the standings are. Because think of it like this. These are your top prospects. Like, Vladimir Guerrero was given an 80 rating, which is the highest rating. I can't remember who gave it to him, but he was given the best rating out of any prospect from a certain site. I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, these are your two top prospects, and these are not guys that you know you want to mess around with and just bring to the big leagues because you think they're ready and they act like they're ready or they say they're ready. You know, they have to prove to you that they're ready through playing well. And I think if they do that this year in AA, again, they could finish in AAA. If they do, then 2019, I think, would look like a good debut year for them. But there's no way that they should be brought up at any point to the big leagues this year. And in fact, I'd honestly be quite annoyed if they did. Just my opinion. I don't think they're ready. I don't think they've. I mean, let's be real. If they're your top prospects, they could probably hit if you just threw them in the big leagues right now. But they're not guys that you're here to test and see, oh, can we just throw them in the big leagues and see what they do? You know, you want to make sure they're ready. And then once they're ready, I'm fine with bringing them. But, you know, they have to prove that they're ready. And they could this year. I'm not saying they won't. I just don't think it's the best option to have them up at this time this year. Because, again, they still have to prove that they're ready to play AAA. And once they do that, you know, have steady numbers there, then I think it's fine. But again, this year, no, I don't want to see them up, nor do I think they should be up.
I think I want to see them up, but definitely they should not come up. everything Blue Jays, you alluded to this, but as in the low levels of a baseball system, like low A, short season single A, high A, the pitchers are not fully developed. And as you progress to double A and more so in triple A, the pitchers, you know, they add secondary pitches in addition to their fastball. They add changeups, they add curveballs, they add all these things. And really, I forget where I read it. It may have been Jonathan Mayo from MLB Pipeline. I think he was talking about the differences. But as a hitter goes up, like a hitter can do super well in low A and in high A, hitting just against fastball pitchers, essentially. You look at like the Blue Jays prospect Nate Pearson. There's been concerns over his off-speed pitches because right now he's just throwing fastballs and blowing everyone away in high A and low A and the Vancouver Canadiens. So I think as Guerrero and Bichette progress into double A and triple A, we'll see kind of a regression because of the progressing pitchers, because of the talent of those pitchers adding those pitches. But at the same time, I do think that they will continue their dominance. I think they'll end in triple A that season. And then next season during spring training, we will see them start the season with the Blue Jays, which, to be honest, is what we've been expecting this entire time. It's what the analysts have been expecting. It's what we, the fans, have been expecting. It's not a deviation from the plan to have them start on the major league roster in 2019. I don't think it's scaring anyone concerning their development if they start at that point. They're still only, Guerrero's only going to be, what, 21? Bichette's going to be 22, something like that? They're still absurdly young at that point. And the Blue Jays can capitalize off that age. I think that right now the track that they're on shouldn't be concerning to anyone. So, changing gears to our last topic of the day and focusing more on the events that are directly at hand right now. Opening day, as we record this, it is in 5 days, I believe. 4 days and how many hours. It's super exciting. The Blue Jays announced, I guess it was a few days ago, their starting rotation to start the season. Obviously, with Marcus Stroman injured, he was initially expected to start opening day, but his shoulder inflammation has pushed him back. J.A. Happ will be starting on opening day, followed by Aaron Sanchez, Marco Estrada, and then we'll see Stroman and then Jaime Garcia finishing off. I know we talked about this before the podcast, but were you guys expecting Happ to start opening day? Is there a person you would prefer to start opening day? Or are you content with Happ starting?
I expected J. Happ to start opening day after Stroman was initially ruled out for opening day, but he wasn't the person that I actually wanted to. Reports all over Twitter, J-Hap the front runner, you know, it's not surprising. J-Hap has experience. He's been solid with his first two seasons with the Blue Jays, but I would have preferred for a better matchup. I'm looking at splits here. I'm not taking anything away from J-Hap. I just think it's better if you start a right-hander against the New York Yankees. We know how dangerous they are. We know how dangerous that their big three are, and Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and Giancarlo Stanton. They're all right-handers, and for that reason, that's why I personally wanted Aaron Sanchez or Marco Estrada to get the start. I was more leaning towards having Estrada make the start, but either way, one of the two right-handed pitchers to make the start. It's going to be tough. The Yankees look scary on paper. The projections are through the roof. This team is predicted to be one of the most dominant teams in all of baseball's ever seen. They're all right-handers. You're starting at the Rogers Center. It's very hitters-friendly. And even if you started at Yankee Stadium, it's another hitters-friendly ballpark. So either way, Jay Happ's going to be thrown into the deep end right away. As much as I hate to say that, in game one of 162. It's opening day. You got everything on you. It's probably one of the most exciting days of the season. And Jay Happ's going to have to perform against the New York Yankees. These three are, we know, we, again, we know what we can do. Stanton moving from Marlins Park to Yankee Stadium, more of a pitcher's ballpark to a very hitters-friendly ballpark. Aaron Judge entering his really second season, second full season, I should say, and Gary Sanchez, another season for him. So, yeah, I wanted Marco Estrada to start or Aaron Sanchez, one of the two. But, again, at the end of the day, I'm not surprised by this news. You know, it seemed like the Blue Jays, ever since, you know, Stroman was ruled out, it was going to be Hap. A lot of people predicted Hap. A lot of people assumed it was going to be Hap. But, yeah, as a matchup for myself, I would have preferred a right-hander just because of the powerful righties that the Yankees have.
Yeah, I didn't even consider matchups, to be completely honest. I kind of just assumed Stroman was going to be the opening day starter, but once the news came out that he wasn't, I immediately, for some reason, thought of Estrada to be the opening day starter before the Hap rumors went out. But honestly, I don't... to be completely honest, I don't really care who the opening day starter is because the season's 162 games long. It's not like if Estrada starts opening day, he's not starting again, or if Hap doesn't start opening day, he's not starting again. But yeah, with a healthy season, everybody's probably going to get around 30 or 25 to 30 starts. So it's not like we're not going to see somebody just because they didn't pitch on opening day. And I think the Blue Jays, on paper, have a very good rotation. You know, you could easily throw any of their starters, with the exception of Jaime Garcia, out on opening day. I mean, yes, you just said everything Blue Jays, the matchup. You know, the Blue Jays are playing in a glorified T-ball field. It's a very hitter-friendly ballpark, and you're facing one of the best lineups in the league, probably the best, in my opinion. So you probably would like a guy to combat that better. But really, it doesn't matter. You know, it's different if you're a team with really one good starter and a few mediocre starters, then it would matter. But when you're the Blue Jays and you have five legitimate starters, it's almost as if, you know, just throw out whoever you want on opening day and then go from there.
Yeah, one quick thing to add. I just forgot to mention it right after you started talking. You know, because you reminded me, I remembered it when you said, you know, you don't care, quote. The thing to look at, too, I guess, if you don't care, quote. You know, looking at the Jays' rotation anyway, it seems pretty likely, almost 100%, even if Jay Happ didn't start opening day, he would have likely faced them later in the series. So that's another thing to look at that I forgot, or that I was going to mention at the end, but I forgot. But yeah, that's another thing to I forgot to add. Sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say the exact same thing that Blue Jays Nation said. I don't care, really. I mean, there is some kind of ceremonial value to whoever starts the first game because supposedly they're the best pitcher on the team, you know, and there's superstition in winning the first game and the importance it holds on the regular season, but really it doesn't matter. It's one game out of 162 games. I'd rather have, you know, the best pitcher in the rotation starting against in a higher importance game than just the first game of the season. I would rather have our best starter pitching in the most important game, whether that be against a division rival in September or, you know, right before the All-Star break against, I don't know, the Red Sox or something. I would rather have them pitching in a very important game than, you know, the opening day game, because that really doesn't matter for the Blue Jays. Unless you consider, of course, it is against the Yankees. They have 19 games against the Yankees, and they are division rivals. They will hold importance in the Blue Jays' record because they face them 19 times, and they're a really good team. And potentially they can influence the Blue Jays' chances of making the wild card. So, All that being said, I really don't care who starts opening day as long as everyone is healthy and no one gets too mad like Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman apparently wasn't very happy with the decision, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's Stroman. All right, so I think we'll leave things there. This is our last episode before the start of the 2018 season. I hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, we were joined by Everything Blue Jays, Blue Jays Nation. I'm Mark Cauley from 360 Blue Jays News, and then those other websites that I won't bore you guys with. But thank you for tuning in. Next episode should be after the start of the season, so we'll see how J.A. Happ does. And then, obviously, we're very excited for this season and what it holds for the Blue Jays. Thank you for listening.